Cherries and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walk in town on silver spurs that jingle too. A song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time, and I will give to you summer wine.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And by the way, if you want to reach me by email, it's easy to do. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com. That's A-R-T-B-E-L-L at mindspring.com, or Art Bell at AOL.com. Either one, both of those will reach me. Number two, we have now completed, in my mind, the first part of the program, and that is the evidence. And I think for any who were listening objectively, a lot of this is pretty impressive evidence, actually. We're talking about Billy Meyer and the contacts he's had. Now, part two is going to consist of moving on to the warnings that we as a people have been given by the Pleiarians. I believe that's close anyway. It's a new name, not Pleiadians, but Pleiarians. And Michael can correct me on that if I got it wrong. It's new, but that's what it was always supposed to be, according to Michael. And we've been issued a very specific set of warnings, very dire warnings. And that's what's coming up next. Then we're going to go to the telephone. So if you've got questions... and I know you do. That would be the moment. Kind of nice to hear the thunder going out occasionally. I guess they put that on there, and so I thought, what the hey. I think anybody listening to the last 2 hours objectively has to be a little bit impressed. Really does. Certainly I am. I think the evidence is pretty good. So now a big question, having accepted, at least for the sake of this discussion, the first 2 hours of presented evidence, let's now talk to the message that Billy Meyer was given. I think that's very important, Michael, but you have to lay that groundwork first or nobody's going to pay much attention to the message itself.
I agree.
So what is it? Is it the Pleiarians? Is that...
Pleiarian, yeah. They actually called, you know, they keep correcting us. There's something called the Pleiarian, as in like the Pleiarian people without an F. It's not going to kill it to say the Pleiarians. I was calling them the Pleiarians, and I got a letter from one of the people in Switzerland. Well, technically it's the Pleiarian. You know, okay, fine.
All right.
Whatever. But what I wanted to say about this, because we're going to lay out the stuff that you're just, you know, kind of announcing. Prophecy and prediction are two separate things by definition here. And prophecy, as far as they're concerned, relates or refers rather to events, negative events, because usually you don't have to be warned about positive things, but negative events that will occur if we don't alter thoughts, actions.
Yes.
right?
Yes.
And both and predictions are those things which are already set in stone, and they may often have a what you might call a cosmic origin. And it simply means like a comet or, you know, an asteroid coming through or some kind of
sure.
thing that's greater. But prophecies can turn to predictions if they've passed the point of no return. Both prophecies and predictions, as everything else in life, operates on the principles of the laws of cause and effect. There's nothing mystical here. It's, you know, when we speak about prophecies, we're speaking about...
Well, there are mystical things in prophecy.
Maybe, but in this case, what I'm trying to delineate is, on Earth, we've got weathermen and scientists and people that forecast sporting events and financial trends. We're used to the idea of people taking information and projecting outcomes.
Yes, well, our weathermen are a lot like prophets, and
yeah.
sometimes events coincide to make it not come true.
Yes.
Anyway, listen,
yeah.
there's a message. I want to get to that
there
now.
There is, and we get to... The unique thing here, as we get to this message, because it's a little heavy and I want to set this up properly, I don't want to just scare people. I mean, heck, we get to do something about it this time, and there's a plan that we if people want to make Billy Meyer wrong, let's make the play Aaron wrong. I'm all for it. Let's prove that this does not have to occur.
All right.
So what we're talking about here, we've come to something that's called the Enoch prophecies, or Hanok prophecies, and they have now been, they're putting them in the new edition of the book for anybody that wants to sit and go through. There's pages of them. They are very, very intense, and they cover a lot of territory, and we're going to go into that now, but when people get the book, they'll be able to...
Let's hit the high points.
Well, they're all low points because...
That's fine.
Right.
Most news is the news at 5:30
right.
by any of the networks. It's all low points. It's the nature of news, so just go ahead and let's do
okay.
it.
Okay, so to do this, I have to just explain that the prophecies are not given in a chronological order for the reason they explain that if we knew exactly what was coming when, we would simply try to alter the event.
Isn't that the idea?
Yes, but what they're trying to get us to do is to see the big picture and to make some very profound changes in our individual and collective behavior and consciousness.
All right, having said all that,
all right,
lay it on us. I want to hear it.
All right, so in order to do it, I have to read it from some of this document or try to paraphrase it. So I'm going to jump here to something in the middle of a page where it says, and it will be that the fanatics of Islam will rise up against the countries of Europe, and all will shake and quiver. This is from 1987. Everything in the West will be destroyed. England will be conquered and thrown down to the lowest level of misery. And the fanatics and warriors of Islam will retain their power for a long time. However, not only Europe will be affected, but ultimately all the countries and peoples of the earth, as the great horror expands to a war that will encompass the entire world. After the turn of the millennium, the papacy will exist only a short period. Pope John Paul II is the third from last in this position. After him, only one additional pope will follow. Then a Pontifex Maximus follows, who will be known as Petrus Romanus. I think other people have said this too. Under his religious rule, the end of the Catholic Church will come, and a total collapse becomes inevitable. So this is, we'll stop here on this segment. As far back as 1980 or 81, they told Meyer that during the latter part of the 20th century and going into the 21st century, fundamentalist sects and religious cults of all sorts would start to arise, and there'd be a lot of pain and suffering over it. And they did point out the Islamic fundamentalists as one of the major ones. And they also said at that time, and they repeat it later, that France will have an uprising from within that could overthrow France to a high degree. Remember, they're saying here that Islam is going to, roar through Europe.
This is serious stuff, all right.
This is serious. Now, the reason I want to stop here is to say, look, I want to remind us at every moment, this is still, to some degree, alterable because there's a counterbalance body of information where they have said, look, this isn't about pacifism. This isn't about you simply let things happen to you, because self-defense is it's not only a right, it's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But from their perspective, the way to deal with these things is very different than the way we're dealing with it. So I want to read more into it and then talk about that.
Oh,
because
go ahead.
This is going to bother you and a lot of other people. I'm going to jump back and forth here. So here's where it gets unpleasant. The USA will set out against the eastern countries ahead of all other financial states, and simultaneously she will have to defend herself against the eastern intruders. In all, America will play the most decisive role when, in the guise to strive for peace and to fight against terrorism, she will invade many countries of the earth, bomb and destroy everything, and bring thousandfold death to the populations. The military policies, or politics, pardon me, of the USA will likewise know no limits, as neither will their economical and other political institutions, which will be focused on building and operating a world police force, as it is the case already for a long time. Now, before people start, listen, I'm reading somebody else's words here, but they'll be mad at me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Let me explain how I look at this. We in this country are an extended family, as every country could consider itself, and let alone humanity. If in my own personal family, I find out somebody brings me news that some cousin or Uncle Joe or Aunt Nellie is doing something that's really wrong or immoral, dangerous or deadly, do I turn around and attack the messenger, or do I go about trying to find out whether it is so or not so?
Well, a lot of people attack the messenger, Michael.
Yes. So my position, what I've kind of learned the hard way, is I don't care what I like and what I don't like. I still may have them. But I want to find out what is so and what is true, mm-hmm. because then I can do something about it. If we continue, this is my editorial, if we continue to be focused on sticking our index fingers in the air, whirling them around, going, we're number one, and anybody that objects to anything is unpatriotic, we are in for an awful lot of trouble. No one would run a company that way, let alone a family and let alone a country. So let me go on where they're continuing to slam at us. And by the way, they are equal opportunity offenders. They have something bad to say about almost everybody. But I'm more concerned right now with what they're saying here, because this affects potentially you and me.
Of course, of course.
They are talking here, and it says, and this will point towards the possibility that a third world war could develop from it if human beings as a whole will not finally reflect upon reason and become reasonable and undertake the necessary steps against the insane machinations of their governments and military powers, as well as their secret services, and call a halt to the power of the irresponsible who have forsaken their responsibility in all areas. If this does not happen, many small and great nations will lose their independence and their cultural identity and will be beaten down, because the USA will gain predominance over them with evil force and bring them down under her rule. At first, many countries will howl with the wolves of the US, partially due to fear of American aggressions and sanctions, as this will be the case with many irresponsible in Switzerland and Germany, but also of other countries.
You realize this sounds very anti-American.
Yes, it does. As I say, they're equal opportunity defenders, but I'm focusing on this at the, you know, at the risk of people being upset, because...
No, that's right. I don't want you to...
I ain't backing off of it, because this is what's in there.
No, I don't want you to back off it.
Okay.
I'm just making note of how it does sound.
You know, absolutely so. And Meyer has survived 19 documented assassination attempts. It's not because he's talking to the benevolent space brothers. These people have said, we tell things as we see them and as we know them. We are not interested in political speech, in diplomatic speech, and in flowery words, because it only delays the truth, and that makes things worse. We're giving you these warnings. You've asked for help from above in all of your unique ways. Here it is. But you have to help yourselves. We will tell you what we see. You can disregard it if you wish. You can work with it. You can change it, but we can't. So they go on to say, in parts, others will join in because they will be forced somehow to do so, or will be misled by irresponsible promoters of American propaganda.
All right, well, we're already at war with Islamic fundamentalism.
Yeah.
No question about that. But what you're suggesting there is that it becomes a full-fledged war, essentially, with Islamic countries, with Islam.
Well, no. Not only. Remember in here they say America is going to beat down many small and great nations will lose their independence and cultural identity. They're actually saying we're going to extend this war. Now, I had this document in my hands when I was in New York like 2 years ago, in 2002, before the U.S. had launched the attack, I think even on Afghanistan, right before the I mean, here it was. They're talking about...
Well, I don't think any American right now would be shocked at the possibility of a wider war with Islam and Islam at some Islamic countries. It's in the offing.
Of course, but here's where things are a little... let me read some of this. This is where it takes other flavors. Finally, many Asian, African, and European states will rise up against the American hegemony once they recognize that the USA is only taking advantage of them for purposes of war, conquest, and exploitation. Well, this is not politically correct, is it?
No.
In this way, many countries will become puppet states of America before reason and realization will emerge in the responsible ones of governments and in many of the population, resulting in a turning away from the USA. And, however, the Great War will hardly be avoidable because the human beings of Earth will probably not accept the directions towards the better. Therewith, towards true love and freedom and peace, and striving instead only towards wealth and pleasures and riches and for all manner of material values and vices and unrestricted power. Sounds a bit more realistic, but hey, I'm not going to overly comment. This is what they're talking about. Now, they go on here in this segment, and I'll get to where they talk about the World Trade Center and other stuff. But remembering now, this is from 1987. The first version of this was from 1980 or 81.
Yes, that is well worth remembering as you listen to this, when the time frame that it came from. An awful lot's happened since.
Well, you know, in this same document, as I say, this is many pages long, in this document and in the original version where they didn't talk about the World Trade Center in this part, they mentioned, for instance, they said, in the future, there's a danger of India and Pakistan entering into a nuclear conflict with each other if they're misled into this action. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the 80s, they didn't even have nuclear weapons. But in October of 2003, we may all remember...
Well, right now, though, Michael, the actions that I see that we have taken, I see as still self-defensive. We were attacked. We didn't run over and attack any Islamic country or any training camps, to speak well. We did hit a few of those in Afghanistan a long time ago. But, I mean, as a,
right.
more or less, we took no major act of war against the Islamic fundamentalists. They certainly did come after us. So
let me address how they have been addressing that, if I may, okay?
You
let
may.
Me take a sip of water here because we're doing some industrial strength here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is how they have expressed, to the best of my ability to express it right now, and again, people can actually read it all for themselves. What they have said is this, and they foretold this before the strike in Afghanistan. They said that to arbitrarily launch attacks that will go into countries and result in the deaths of lots of innocent people, and will ultimately, more than likely, not result in capturing the perpetrators is terrorism in and of itself. Well, how are we supposed to deal with this? And here's what they said. You, in your world, need what is known as a true global combat-peace force. And that means armed, trained military personnel...
Who will beat the peace into people.
No, I mean, it's... I guess that's a lovely way to put it, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, you're going to love me or else you had it. What they're saying about it actually is that if this force is drawn equally from all peoples on the planet and operates under a true international legal structure with a true international court, whereby there is no party and no nation that is immune from the laws and the enforcement of it. This international armed peacekeeping or peace combat force is empowered to go and pursue any and all terrorists, dictators, revolutionary forces, warmongers, wherever they may be. Once they are identified, they are sent en masse to go get them. Now, they specify...
Hey, you know, Michael... Some of the way they put it, the way it was said, sounds like it comes right out of an Al-Qaeda pamphlet on why we hate America, because America is going to come and do this to countries and do that to countries and seek out people and kill many innocent civilians. I mean, that could have come right out of an Al-Qaeda pamphlet almost.
This is where we go back to something about what is true and what isn't. Now, that may or may not be true. I'm not going to tell you this is true. We have to decide this for ourselves. I am personally, I'm not going to back away from saying...
No, don't back away from anything. I'm just telling you what it sounds like.
Okay, but here's the thing. Our enemies can also be right about things. That's the unpleasant thing. Just like we can be right about things about our enemies, and they're not going to like it. We have, in my opinion, we've got an illusion that just because we are powerful and successful and strong, and we most of us aspire to the good, we champion it, we can do no wrong, or we would do no wrong.
But it almost sounds like America turns into a sudden Nazi Germany, a power, you know, laying down colonial lines for themselves all over the place and taking over the world. That's how they're making it sound.
And there are those who have certainly published adequately to present that point of view, that it is something that our country, our military, our secret governments, whatever, have done. We've interfered in the affairs of countries everywhere.
All right. Hold it right there. We're at the break point. And shortly after we come back, I'm going to turn this over to all of you. It seems to me like you might have a thing or two you want to say to Michael Horn. I mean, this is impressive and interesting. And very concerning.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
You know, what Michael Horn is saying that came to Billy Meyer really does sound anti-American. It makes us sound like a bunch of Nazis, like we're going to go take over the world. However, I suppose, if you thought of it from the point of view of the people that we call terrorists, that would be exactly the way they probably look at it, right? So, I don't know. Interesting. The whole thing is very interesting, and I want to give all of you an opportunity to ask Michael questions. That's why we're at it a little bit early here. If you just stay right where you are, I'm sure they're going to be tough ones, and they're coming up. All right, once again, Michael Horn, and again, Michael, you know, this stuff does sound as though it comes from the PR group on the other side.
Yes, and of course, as I said, I'm focusing on the stuff that pertains specifically to us.
No, that's fine. Kevin in Richmond, Virginia, for example, says, after reading several of the documents on theyfly.com, it seems to me that Billy Meyer is an anti-American activist. Why doesn't he attack the Islamic states for being the homicidal maniacs that they are?
Well, he has written about that, and he's called them, you know, depraved and murderous and the fanatics. Now, not all of Islam, because they've also distinguished...
No, of course, not all of Islam. Everybody knows that. Not right,
right.
Now.
But... They talked about the fanatics, the people who... And he's criticized Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Iraqis. When the war in Yugoslavia was going on, they were calling all these people wannabe Rambos and insane people. I'm focusing on this stuff because this now is the information that appears and is here for us to either disregard. If we don't like it, we can just ignore it.
I know.
Or we can find out if it's true, and then what do we do about it? We're hearing about this for a reason. We're not just here to entertain. This isn't an entertainment.
No, no, concept. No. I understand. All right. I've got people waiting to talk
sure,
to you.
Sure.
I'm going to get them on the air. But let's be sure we've got all of this now.
There is something that I'd like to cover first, because as long as we're getting into this unpleasant stuff.
No, go ahead.
Let's do it, and here it goes. In addition, apocalyptic natural catastrophes will occur, which will cause all of Europe to shake and tremble. But Europe will continue to exist even after having suffered enormous destruction. Far in the West, it will be different. The U.S. of A. will be a country of total destruction. The cause for this will be manifold. With her global conflicts, which are continuously instigated by her and which will continue far into the future, America is creating enormous hatred against her worldwide in many countries. As a result, America will experience enormous catastrophes, which will reach proportions barely imaginable to human beings of Earth. The destruction of the WTC, i.e., the World Trade Center, by terrorists will only be the beginning. 1987, Art and listeners. Okay, now it goes on, but you want to come out swinging, come out swinging. This is what they wrote, and what they have basically said is, in the simplest sense, if we want to avoid this befalling us, we pull out of Iraq and every place where we have troops stationed, we bring them home and we straighten out our own country, we defend ourselves from here if necessary, and, you know, a totally... other state of mind for a lot of people who think we are entitled, because we're Americans, to be everywhere with 102 military bases all over the world. Well, we're being told by somebody else who doesn't care a hoot about what we think about it, no, that's going to get your country destroyed, because the rest of the world in time is coming against
you. I have a question for you, Michael.
Yeah.
You say all this with quite a passion, so much passion that a person listening like myself might believe that these are your views as well as the views that you're relating.
These are my fears that it's true.
Well, yeah. Well, are they also your views?
I'll tell you what my views are, and they've been for some time. My views are that we have indeed interfered and continue to interfere in the business of other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have this sense personally. I don't know that this is going to result in this, but to me, on the level of the laws of cause and effect, the pendulum goes out and it comes back. It comes back the way it comes back, not the way I think it should or the way I like it or don't like it.
But, you know, when somebody knocks down two of the biggest buildings in the biggest city in your country,
right?
Why, you tend to react, and that's what we've done, is we've reacted.
We've reacted, but what we're being told, and people can argue with it, and I'm sure they do. We have to find out who is responsible. Now, the perpetrators, the original perpetrators, are all dead. Who was behind it? Can you identify those people? What the players are saying is, yeah, you've got to get these people. You've got terrorism does have to be stopped, but it's a technique. It's a means of fighting that, in their point of view, we are simply pouring gasoline on embers and recruiting more people because of what becomes indiscriminate art. I think we'd all have to admit that we don't see the nightly news from Iraq. We don't see our soldiers coming home in coffins. We don't see the damage to them over there, to the Iraqis. We are now having a sanitized, controlled media. Maybe, just maybe, it isn't the way we're being told it is. And do we want to look at it? Do we want to find out if these see, in terms of this case, this is the Meyer case we're looking at. This
saying, do we propagandize our own people? Yes, of course we do. Every country on earth does that to their own people and the world at large as much as they're able.
Sure. And
so, we do that.
Yes. And what these people have said, remember I said there's a counterbalancing body of information. All of this doom and gloom and horror we're talking about here, they are saying there are operating principles for human development. You're not the only humans in this universe. You're not the only ones at this stage. You're not the only ones who've gotten through it or those who didn't get through it and have to start over. But if you do not grasp the right rules of conduct, you will have to start over. You're going to, this is what they've said, if America does not withdraw from Iraq and these other things, and Britain, and they've blasted Blair and all that, they have said we will lose two-thirds of our population on this planet as early as 2006. A third world war would break out from circumstances and events which will take on a life of their own and multiply and carry on, and they've outlined some of them. You know, is this just itty crazy guy in Switzerland with doom and gloom, and let's just call him an anti-American jerk, and Michael Horn's talking about it with all this passion? I kind of care about not seeing this happen. So I can be wrong by, you know, quote-unquote, believing that this could be true and by bringing it to people. But that's why I'm saying, will you people just do your own homework on this? If the case is legitimate, does it not at least bear examination and have the media and the government and the politicians look at something that's been going on for 62 straight years? A man has dodged bullets and knives for 19 of those years because someone wants to put him out of their misery.
I'm sure.
That's a lot of trouble to go to for a hoaxer. How does a man raise a family with three people in a 30-year marriage which crumbles while he's planting his crops and all the rest of it, taking 1,200 clear daytime photographs, 8 films. He's got a video, sound recordings, and metal samples. He publishes prophetically accurate information. He must be a genius, a mad genius, of a stellar level with astounding abilities, or he's a real contactee.
Well, that's why you're on the air, Michael, because this is all very interesting, disturbing,
interesting. It's disturbing as hell.
Yeah, it really is. Sure it is. For a lot of people, it's extremely disturbing.
And that's
disturbing.
What I'm saying. Please, folks, there are other specific little chunk-down personal things that each of us can do to actually turn this. We can turn it just by sheer numbers. You know that when somebody writes a letter, for instance, or calls a radio or TV station or a newspaper, whatever, just like when you do that with a political person, that registers in the media as representing a larger number than that individual thing. Imagine if the people tonight that are listening, they don't even have to believe this damn thing, but they want to demand that they find out, look, this thing's going on, let's find out. Could this be at all true?
All right, I want to take some calls.
Please.
Field some questions.
Let's do it.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Michael Horn. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you're going to have to yell at us a little bit so you're not too loud.
Okay. Michael, this is Vaughn speaking. How are you?
Is that Vaughn?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Vaughn. How are you?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Now, you remember our talk at the Consciousness Expo where you told me that no matter whether or not we could duplicate the effect. Now, we never agreed on duplicating the photos exactly because we could never do that.
Vaughn, without giving your last name, who are you?
My name is Vaughn from the Center for Inquiry West.
You're a skeptic group?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
That you could duplicate the effect, you're saying. Is that right, Vaughn?
The effect is what we discussed. But at that expo, you told me, well, it wouldn't make any difference whether or not we duplicated or not because you're still going to believe that Meyer actually had these experiences.
No,
that
is
a year ago.
That's not what I said. I said you've had 3 years, Vaughn, to duplicate one of these photos and the film segment that you said was hoaxed, sir. And I said, go ahead and do it. You told me your photo lab was not set up yet, and I told you that Mr. Meyer didn't have the luxury of a photo lab, and in the 3 years period of time in which you had not produced one photo or one film segment, in that same period of time in the mid-70s, Meyer had produced 1,200 with multiple UFOs, and that these things had been examined by experts.
Okay.
And go ahead, I don't want to take your time.
No, I just wanted to point out that we did talk at the Consciousness Expo, and you made it clear that whether we duplicated it even exactly wouldn't have made any difference to you.
No.
And, of course, that was good reason not to really pursue
that. Well, it's not a good reason, Vaughn. If you could reproduce those, then why didn't you?
Well, here's another issue. Well, actually, we have some up on our website right now that we're done with a $3 throwaway camera, and some paper plates, and there's no way you can really distinguish unless somebody told you that those were actually paper plates.
No, the way you distinguish, Vaughn, is to subject them to the same critical photo examination that Myers...
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let me make something clear about a photograph. Photographs are essentially a work of fiction. In order to prove what's in a photograph, you have to be able to have the item at hand. You know, when forensics...
You have your item at hand. The fiction here is that you will not subject those photos to microdensitometer
examination. What's the densitometer going to prove? Nothing.
I see. You're a photographic expert.
Wait a minute now.
Please.
Vaughn, hold on. Isn't it fair, Vaughn, to allow your photographs to be subjected to the same scrutiny that the Meyer photographs were?
Well, that's fine.
And why not?
Right. I have no problem with that. The problem is that doesn't prove that the object in the photo is actually a UFO from another planet.
Well, I don't know that we prove anything at the end of the day, but to allow the same kind of examination would seem fair.
We have asked him to submit the Myers original negatives also.
So
we can look at them, and I think that's fair, too.
I think it's fair.
So do I.
It'd be great if I had them, but I've got something better, and I've repeatedly offered it to you. The sound recordings are physical evidence, and you can download them, Vaughn, and go outside with a cassette machine and get 15 people around and record those sounds from a rotating device and have them put them through the same analysis that Myers were and give us the same results. You're going to give me more excuses, which you have for 3 years.
I'm not giving you excuses. I'm just telling you that
doesn't count.
We need him to submit the material.
No, you don't need it, sir. It was examined by experts whose credentials exceed yours by light years.
Well,
and
why
you
not?
Have claimed that this man is a fraud. You have defamed him along with all these other...
Michael,
second-rate pseudoscientists, and you don't prove it. Would you please?
You have yet to
proof?
Provide the metal to us that you claim that's available.
Marcel Vogel held 32 patents at IBM. His video analysis is available. Buy my DVD and see it. And if you think Marcel Vogel was hoaxing, if you think Michael Mallon was hoaxing, and Wally Gentleman and Steve Ambrose and all the rest of these people, where's your credibility?
You need to understand that all those tests do not prove. All they're going to do is say, well, okay. The densitometer is going to tell you how much light actually went through the film, how dense the media is on the film.
No, you'll get edge enhancement. You'll be able
edge enhancement we can do with Photoshop, and that's been done before. But it still does not prove that item in the photo is what it's claimed to be.
Vaughn,
because hoaxes of photos have been going on since the mid-18th
century. This is the hubcap argument over and over. And if you will remember, what I also said to you, Vaughn, at the UFO conference was, listen, you go ahead and play with your photographs, but why don't you give me the prophetically accurate scientific information for 10 years hence? Look, you guys have come up with nothing. The film that you said was easy to hoax. He simply scratched the negative with a pin.
Well, we duplicated the effect.
Of the film?
That's what we agreed to do.
No.
You've claimed that you were entitled to win $1 million because we couldn't prove that Billy Myers' photos weren't.
Sir, you people have claimed that he's a defamer and you've defamed him as a hoaxer, as a fraud.
Well, I've never called him a hoaxer.
Oh, I see. Now you haven't called him a hoaxer. I've got it from your people on your IIG department there. Look, so we don't bore everybody that wants to ask the questions. Let them go to the website and they will notice that your little UFO paper plate model is next to no trees or objects of known size as Myers are.
Yeah, why not?
They're going to come out.
Hold it. Hold it. Let's let everybody go to the website. Where's the website, Vaughn?
It's IIG West. Well, actually, you can link to it from our cfiwest.org.
Well, just one at a time.
Yes.
IIG West?
IIGwest.org.
IIGwest.org. So everybody can take a look at the photographs. Vaughn, I do think it's a good idea for you to allow those photographs, however and whatever they are, to be examined in the same way the Meyer photographs were.
Okay, but that works two ways. I agree with you. We don't have a problem with that.
Vaughn,
him to provide those negatives to us, too.
Vaughn, did the bomb go off at Hiroshima even though you weren't there to verify it? You know, you don't have credentials that come anywhere near all of the experts who've done this. But if you want to focus on the physical evidence, step up to the plate, have the report that matches the kind of examination, duplicate the sounds, and produce the film with the two lights.
Well, you keep changing the goalposts. Now, at first it was
it's
just
not
photos.
Changing of goalposts. You guys changed the goalposts.
Hold on. Listen, I'm going to terminate this now. Vaughn, thank you. People can go to your website. I will, too. IIGwest.org. All right?
Okay.
All right, Vaughn. Thank you, and take care. And Vaughn is a skeptic. I think it is reasonable that he would submit these to the same kind of examination. Now, for you, Michael,
yes,
What have you done in terms of trying to get your hands, as the American representative for Mr.
Sure.
Meyer, on some negatives?
Well, the original investigative team had whatever negatives were available, but I thought I did something that was even better.
What?
What I helped to do, and I'm not responsible for the printing, is I put in the hands of thousands of people a book that had six or seven, and actually more, we could get into that later, specific predictions of things which hadn't occurred, which
right.
have subsequently occurred in that sequence.
Right, but Michael, can you not take a trip to Switzerland? I mean, surely out of 1,200 photographs, there must be an awful lot of negatives bouncing around somewhere.
I will tell you what remains.
Maybe Billy's, protecting them, as I would imagine he would very carefully, but a negative or two wouldn't be too much to ask.
Art, I'll tell you the problem with it in my estimation.
Please do.
I think that when someone's going to say, well, this isn't good enough, and that the folks at the Skeptics Organization are the ones who've raised the bar every time.
Oh, they'll never be happy.
They'll never be happy.
But it doesn't matter. Why not go after some negatives anyway?
Because here's the real kicker. There still are metal samples available.
Michael,
this is the better stuff.
Michael, I don't care whether it's better or not. As the American spokesperson, official, you should be able to go to Switzerland and say, Billy, part with a couple of negatives.
You know, I can ask if they have them. It's like...
Well, I'm sure you have. If you haven't, I wonder about you.
I'll tell you, the truth, in my perspective,
yes?
The photographic evidence, the films and all that stuff, even though it's still irreproducible, it's not where I put the emphasis.
Nevertheless, Michael.
We'll get a negative and someone's going to... Look, the best I can say is that the better people than I saw them and they examined them. It's 30 years later. Does Meyer still have them? I don't know. Because I simply don't. That's not my area of expertise, finding their negatives.
Well,
if people
involved in a big controversy with our friend there, might as well go ahead and try to get some negatives. They must exist.
You know, I'll ask. I'm going to be there in May. I'll see if they have it.
And
I would say to you, look, if anybody thinks that makes the case true or not true for them, that's fine.
Well,
I'm not here to prove it.
Well, wait a minute now, Michael. It does make the case true or not true. If you got negatives and it turned out they were hoaxed, then you might as well take that whole story and just toss it out
sure.
the window.
Well, here's something I think we could even look at just for a moment as an interim step before I go to Switzerland and try and get negatives. There is a video that Meyer took in 1981. It is taken on a bright sunny day outside where he is approximately 300 feet from a tree on a hill with a 14-foot bizarre-looking metallic UFO hovering in front of it.
All right. Hold that thought. We're at the top of the hour. We'll come back to the evidence, the negatives, and the quest for the negatives, which would perhaps be the Holy Grail, or maybe not. Maybe, as he says, it wouldn't matter. They'd get the negatives, and they'd rip those apart, too. I call them pixel people. I know.
Can some people really find water?